A significant number of young children suffer from a form of epileptic seizures that has the attention of researchers at Wake Forest University School of Medicine. About 8 in 100,000 children between the ages of 6 and 14 suffer from what are known as absence seizures. They're likely to occur many times a day and can be disruptive. The two researchers who are my guests today are among the very few doing research on this particular kind of seizure disorder. Dwayne Godwin and Georgia Alexander, both PhDs, are joining me on Voices and Viewpoints. Welcome.
Hello, Denise.
Hi. Let's talk about epilepsy first of all and talk about what it truly is and maybe debunk some myths. Dwayne, you first of all.
Well, Denise, when most people think of epilepsy, they think of the convulsive form of epilepsy, where people will fall down and have a series of jerky motions, and that is a picture that people conjure up when they think of epilepsy. But epilepsy has many different types, and one type that we study in my laboratory is called absence or petit mal epilepsy. This form of epilepsy is more of a seizure of consciousness than it is a seizure that involves the motor systems of the brain.
And it comes unexpectedly, doesn't it?
That's right. For children that experience these seizures, they can come on quite suddenly. They last anywhere from 10 to 20 seconds, and the child can emerge from these seizures without knowing that they actually had a seizure. These have also been called staring seizures because the child will be disconnected from their environment during the seizure.
And this occurs in children ages 6 to 14, a particularly critical age in the development of children, right?
Oh, absolutely, Denise. This is a time at which very important developmental events are occurring to the brain. The brain is configuring itself for normal adult function, and disruptions of consciousness like this can be detrimental to the learning process, and also with respect to interactions with other children and adults.
I know from a personal standpoint, Georgia, you suffer from seizures and have since childhood, and this was a motivating factor for you to get involved in this research, right?
That's correct. I've had a seizure disorder since childhood. I was about 12 years old when my seizure disorder started, and I have that typical grand mal seizure disorder or epilepsy.
Now, when you say typical, you mean more what people envision?
What people envision, that's correct.
Yeah. So talk to me about how that impacts a child so people can understand the significance of you all's research.
My seizure disorder started when I was about 12 years old, and it lasted throughout junior high, high school, college, and speaking towards being in school, and I've had seizures in school on several occasions. Other children think that I'm dead, and I'm taken away by the ambulance. I missed a lot of school. I missed a lot of learning opportunities. And so for a child, it's very important that their seizure disorder be treated effectively so that they can be part of their learning environment.
Yes. And Dwayne, again, these absence seizures are not grand mal, but nonetheless, the children leave us for a while.
That's right. Absence seizures share with the grand mal seizure the fact that the entire brain becomes involved with this abnormal rhythm that the brain is self-generating.
Now, typically, how are these absence seizures treated now?
Well, the current treatments for absence seizures involve drugs that reduce the activity of many of the cells of the brain. So they can have side effects that are as detrimental as the seizure itself.
Tell me the exciting part, then, about what you all have discovered.
Well, the exciting thing that we've found is a new handle on the problem. And just to set this in context, the brain communicates by a system of chemicals called neurotransmitters, and those neurotransmitters link up with proteins called receptors. They're similar to a key and a lock, and the key being the neurotransmitter, the lock being the receptor. So essentially what we have found is a new kind of lock that will help to reduce activity at these synapses that are communicating at too high a gain.
So are we talking about a drug, Georgia?
Well, we could be looking at specifically a drug, yes. There are two ways that these receptors, or these locks, can be involved in these seizure disorders. Particularly, these receptors will be activated when particular areas of the brain become overexcited. So when they're overexcited, they release a lot of the chemical called glutamate, which can then bind to this receptor or the lock and that receptor activation will function as the braking mechanisms on the activity at that particular pathway in the brain. Secondly, though, you can intervene with a drug that will always activate the receptor and can dampen the activity at that particular pathway to prevent the occurrence of buildup of activity and prevent seizures occurring at that pathway.
And by identifying this specific glutamate receptor, you in effect envision the ability to put the brakes on, if you will, the activity at a specific pathway rather than taking down all activity as current drugs do.
That's correct.
That's pretty neat.
Yes, that's why we were excited about this research.
Yeah. Now, I know that timelines are really difficult to talk about in research. How far away are we talking about?
What we do is preclinical research. We'd use our knowledge of brain circuits to determine mechanisms that might be fruitful for the exploration of new drugs and pharmacotherapeutics. Drug-wise, you know, when a drug would be available would depend upon what we discover about the mechanism, how we can intervene with specific types of drugs that might tweak this system, and whether those are suitable to go into the next step.
Georgia, what kind of feeling does it give you, particularly as one who has experienced an epileptic seizure?
Oh, I think it's amazing. Somewhere down the road, it's quite possible that the drugs that we're working with will be available for the patients.
Much more work to be done, obviously, but congratulations on the breakthroughs that you've made. Duane Godwin, Ph.D. in neurobiology, Georgia Alexander, Ph.D. in neuroscience, thank you so much for joining me today on Voices and Viewpoint.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
Coming up, taking a literary license beyond a stretch, commentary Diana Green explains.